elbow, right? Let's pray, and then we'll sing. Amen. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day, and for life and health and strength, for the good weather, Lord, and the heat. It's good to have it. But I thank you too, Lord, for the life and health and strength you've given us. And I pray that you'd be one of our number, that you'd be our... be with us, be with all of those, Lord, that love you and that are gathered together to worship and praise you, Lord, and to learn more about you. I pray, Father, please, for our private prayer requests, for our loved ones, for those that we know that don't know you, Lord. Pray for a great conviction upon them. Most of all, Lord, for folks to be saved, and for saved folks to grow and to go out and tell folks about the great and wonderful things that you'll do upon them. Pray as well, Lord, for the families of those that lost loved ones, especially at the Trump rally in Butler in Pennsylvania. And Father, I pray that this would be a great awakening for so many people. Not just America, Lord, but people that think and ask questions around the world, that they would give a little bit of thought as to how they want the future to be such as it is. We know, Lord, that the Bible tells a starkly different story to the promises of many people out there. And we know, Lord, we need to keep our eyes on you, no matter what the world is saying. But Father, we pray this time would be a time of refreshing and direction and comfort and strengthening, chastening even, and imparting of wisdom. And most importantly, Lord, for your will to be done. Please bless the lifting up of your praises, and our prayers, our fellowship, and our reading, and our teaching and studying of your word, Lord. And that of wherever it's happening in the world, Lord, here and across the world, please bless those activities, Lord. We love you and thank you. And we ask for all of this, and not forgetting Israel, Lord. And, of course, Ukraine and Russia. We ask all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to your will. Amen. Amen. We are going to begin in the wee black book, hymn number 11, if you'd like to take a turn there. Yep, hymn number 11, Lord and Invisible God, Only Wise. Let's make a joyful sound as we sing this good old hymn.
Yeah.
scoot forward a page or two, in fact just one page, and we're going to sing hymn number 13 next. If you would join me on your feet, for guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Hymn number 13.
They say if a man put away his wife and she go from him and become an odd man, shall he return unto her again? Shall not the land be greatly polluted, but thou hast played the harlot with many lovers? Yet return again to me, saith the Lord. Lift up thine eyes unto the high places and see where thou hast not been lying with. In the ways hast thou sat for them, as Arabian in the wilderness, and thou hast polluted the land with thy whoredoms and with thy wickedness. Therefore the showers have been withholden, and there hath been no thy rain, and thou hast a hoarse forehead. Thou refuse to be ashamed. Wilt thou not from this time cry unto me, my father, thou art the God of my youth? Will he reserve his anger forever? Will he keep it to the end? Will thou have spoken and done evil things as thou couldest? Lord said unto me, in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She has gone up upon every high mountain and on every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. And I said, after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me, but she returned not. And her treacherous sister Judah saw it, and I saw went for all the causes whereby backslidden Israel committed adultery, and put her away and given her a bill of divorce, yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and paid the harlot also. And it came to pass through the likeness of her whoredom that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and with stocks. And yet for all this, her treacherous sister Judah hath not returned unto me with her whole heart, but repentantly, saith the Lord. The Lord said unto me, backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than the treacherous Judah. Go and proclaim these words unto the north, and say, return thy backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause my anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Return with backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city, and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion, and I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And shall come to pass when ye be multiplied and increased in the land, in those days, saith the Lord, they shall say no more in the ark of the covenant of the Lord. Neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember, neither shall they visit, neither shall that be done any more. At that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord. All nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. In those days, the house of Judah shall walk the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north to the land that I have given for inheritance unto your fathers. But I say, how shall I put thee among the children, and give thee a pleasant land, a goodly heritage of the host of nations? And I say, thou shalt call me my father, and shalt not turn away from me. Surely as a wife treacherously departed from her husband, so have ye dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. A voice was heard upon thy prince weeping, supplication of the children of Israel, for they have perverted their way, and they have forgotten the Lord their God. Return, ye backsliding children, and I'll heal your backslidings. Will we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel, for shame hath devoured the labour of the fathers from our youth, the flocks and the herds, their sons and their daughters. We lie down in the shame, and treason covereth us. For we have sinned against the Lord our God, and we, our fathers, from our youth, even unto this day, have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. Amen.
Some choir warnings. Just a reminder for everybody, make sure you've got one of those little green prayer lists. On top of what's printed on there, we would ask for your prayers for the Catalano family, that would be our in-laws over in America. Please also remember to pray for Ed and Joan Bissett. Both have Ed has a camera test for bladder cancer, and his wife has an ablation in her heart coming up, so we'd appreciate your prayers for that. For Will's ear problems, please remember that. I think Norman maybe has one too, please remember him as well. We had a request from Steve this morning for Pat. She has a heart murmur and hip difficulties. We would also ask if you would remember the families of those that have lost loved ones in that presidential assassination attempt over in Butler, Pennsylvania. That was an awful thing to happen. One man lost his life as he tried to protect his family from the incoming fire. So please do remember those families. The Lord knows who they are. And please pray for each other. Well, William was telling us that his wee fella, Ellis, is over the chicken pox.
Yes.
So we can take that off. We'll leave the names, but we'll take the chicken pox off.
Thank you all for your prayers.
Yeah, you're very, my goodness. Yeah. Pray for each other, that's what it's all about. Don't forget to pray for Christine and Mary Ann. They are currently gallivanting. Well, they'll not be gallivanting now, they'll be in church about now, up in New Nards. So pray for them as they go up to visit Will's sister Naomi and her husband Patrick. Patrick's a minister up there in the Free Church. And they will be sitting behaving themselves in church right about now. Not that they ever do, but no. So please remember that. Pray for Steve, for John McGowan. It was good to see him this morning. for Lynn and Dr. Shane Frank too, and for Colin. I haven't heard very much of him this past week and a half. Please do pray for him as he is over in Ukraine at the moment. Other than that, I think that's about us. We'll have a wee word of prayer and then we'll sing another song. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Amen. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank you again for your many helps and blessings. And Lord, whether we're articulate or whether we're not, we're just straightforward. We know, Lord, that you always, that the voices of your children always have your ear, Lord. And I pray you, Lord, today for all of the things that's going on. For America right now, specifically for those that love you in America, that they would be blessed beyond measure, especially at this time. And those that love Israel, that they'd be blessed beyond measure. And those that oppose Israel, that they would be opposed and cursed at every turn. I pray for the Trump family and for the families of those that have lost their lives. I pray, Lord, for Israel in general, that you would continue to bless them, Lord, and watch over and protect them and give them victory after victory, especially as they fight battles on every side with all of those nations that just hate them and want to hurt them deep down, Lord. Please, I pray, empower them all at this time. Pray as well, Lord, for the fighting that's going on in between Ukraine and Russia, and for all of those other countries, Lord, that are just stirring the pot, Lord. I pray that that conflict would be hindered at every turn, Lord. Please. I don't know what folks are getting bent out of shape about. It's two communist dictators fight against each other. But, Lord, I pray for those innocents, Lord, that are involved in the battlefronts, that are literally sent to die by men that sit in front of fires and armchairs smoking cigars and drinking brandy, Lord. I know it was the same here back in the day, and may even still be, and I pray for people in this country and countries around the world that get swept up in, Lord, and stupid things, and sin, and murder, and thefts, and lies, Lord. I pray for those, Lord, that are happy to spend the lives of others, Lord, that consequences of their actions will be brought to their attention in short order. Lord, young people everywhere would be given pause for thought and an opportunity to think about their eternities. Do indeed thank you, Lord, for the work that's been done at the church. And I pray as well, Lord, for wee Ellis recovering from the chicken pox and the house being free of them at last. And I pray that you just bless Will and Rachel and Ellis and Lillian at this time. And young fella Aaron, Lord, you know him, you know what he needs. And I pray, Lord, you get a hold of him. Give him a shake, Lord. See him saved and living for you. I know we could probably think that about many of our loved ones. And I pray you, Lord, that you would do that for our loved ones. But I pray you too for our private prayer requests. You know what they are, Lord. We pray that you would grant them according to your will. And for our time here this evening, Lord, please bless us. Please help us to get a good turn out of church, Lord, that it would be good for us. You know each one of our needs, Father. Please supply them, our daily bread, Lord, for us and our brethren across the world. And Lord, we just ask it all in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, and according to your will. Amen. 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 Let's take our big hymn books this time, ladies and gentlemen, or lady and gentlemen, and turn to 319. 319, just a closer walk with the Amen. Let's make a joyful noise as we sing this old.
Oh,
everybody else got a pick. It's down to Norman and Monica at this moment in time.
One nineteen.
That is
until the storm passes.
Until the storm passes by. That's a good one. All right, folks, let's stand as we sing till the storm passes by. I know we feel like that in Ireland sometimes, if we keep singing, the storm will pass by, and sometimes it don't, but I'm not talking about those storms, you see. Hymn number 119, Till the Storm Passes By. Luke chapter 19, verse 11 through to verse 27. And The title is going to be from verse 13, where the Lord said in this parable, "Occupy till I come." Luke chapter 19, beginning at verse 11. "And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, Occupy till I come. But his servant, his citizens, hated them and sent a message after him, saying, We will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, Well, thy good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, Be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he saith unto him, Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest thou not my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by him, Take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring them hither and slay them before. Amen. Right, so the message is occupied by come from the end of verse number 13. And let's have a word of prayer. If you would, Will, would you pray for us, please?
Yes, Father, thank you for tonight, Lord. And thank you for giving us health and strength, Lord, and the power to come into your presence tonight. And your church, Lord, go over and over. That's each and every head that's coming to every house of represented. Well, for this church and other Bible-believing churches throughout this land and throughout this world, Lord, as well, Lord. Lord, say so mighty powerfully and touch hearts, Lord, throughout the world, Lord, to put them off the name of the Savior, Jesus Christ, dead across the sea, people from this sense, Lord. Mm. And we thank you for a loving Savior and the lover of our souls, Lord, and for the sacrifice made at the cross for our sins, Lord. Lord, we have gone where it is, delivered from any trouble, Lord, keep safe and well, drawn back to us, Lord. If it be any will, Lord, no harm. May no harm come to you, Lord. Keep safe and well, Lord. We thank you for baby Alice, recovering from chickenpox, Lord. Mm. For answer prayer, Lord, we may lift that child, Lord, and bless him and be with him as he grows up, Lord, as well, and with him as well, Lord. Lord, I be with Frank, Lord, as his mother, keep safe and well, Lord, lift him any trouble, Lord. We guide him and protect him, Lord, and draw him closer back to me as well, Lord. Also, save Stephen John Carl, Lord, my name, Parsley, Lord, keep safe and well, Lord. With Steve, Lord, and with Pat, Lord, help Pat with remember, Lord, might be a part of the healer, Lord, and give us strength, Lord, and draw a closer walk to thee, Lord, and bring her back to church as well, Lord. With Marcus, come to love the gospel, give a touch of the Spirit, Lord, and make our hearts and minds receptive to your message tonight, Lord. We say a blessing, Lord, on our hearts, Lord, and to prepare us for a new present of the week, Lord, and may we do everything to please and honor by good money and for our honor, for our glory. Jesus Christ, again, amen.
Thank you, Will. Amen. This is a familiar parable. It's mentioned a few times in the Word of God, and we're going to have a quick run through it because it's worth listening to, because it gives us It gives us what the Lord thinks of our lives and what he expects from us, and the punishment for not getting saved and not obeying the Lord. First of all, and the reason that I have us read verse number 11 is that even back then, in the days that the Lord walked upon the face of the earth, people were thinking that Christ was come to herald in God's kingdom on earth. Unfortunately, maybe it would have been better and a lot more people would be on their way to heaven if he had, but the Lord knows. The Lord came to give everyone a chance. Not just the Jews, not just the children of Israel, but everyone, and that was needful. The Lord will be coming soon. The Bible says that the Lord's kingdom on earth is at least 7 years away, the 7 years of the Great Tribulation. But as we look around us at the moment, there are no more signs before the Lord comes in the air to take all of his children home. That means if there's anything you want to be doing for the Lord, if the Lord has put anything on your heart, you should do it. You should not put it off, but you should do it. He gives us this parable, and he himself is in it. It's him and us. And it talks about a certain nobleman going into a far country, which is Jesus Christ, for a while. And he's talking about himself going back up to heaven, but coming back and asking his servants, what exactly have you done with the lives that I gave you? Talks about giving them a pound, and you know what? Each and every one of us has talents, resources, in some form or fashion. There's something that we have that God could use, even if it's only a well-oiled voice box or hard-working jaws whenever it comes to preaching the gospel. Sometimes that's all that matters, is just a word in the right ear at the right time. But this is the Lord saying to his servants, or what have you been up to? I gave you a pound, what did you do with it? One servant says, Lord, I worked really hard for you, and I got 10 pounds for your 1 pound. And it goes through all of the servants, and it only gives the two examples of another servant being called, said, well, Lord, I got 5 pounds with the 1 pound you gave. And it comes to the last one, and he hands him back the pound, and the Lord says, what's the score? And the man says, here's what you gave me, and here's my life. It's right back to you again. He said, but what have you done with it? Here it is. He said, I know that you're an austere man. And there's been quite a few things. Verse number 21 tells quite a tale about how people view God. Some people see God as a forgiving father who will supply his children's need, giving them all good gifts, ministering to them with angels, securing them in the palm of his hand, giving a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and many helps along the way and answering prayers. I can't even think even more off the top of my head. Helping us understand the Bible better. Helping us to see prophecy when it comes to pass. All of these things, increasing our wisdom, increasing our faith. All of these things. Many Christians, I would hope most Christians would seek God like that. But there's this one man who at least claimed to be a servant of the King of Kings that says, you're an austere man. You're a hard man. I see you getting stuff that you never worked for. Imagine even talking to God like that, or your boss for that matter. To only see the glory and the work that they have had to put into it. In other words, why should I do anything in your death and the glory? And to me, that's like missing the point altogether. Like, Jesus gave his life on the cross to save us from our sins. The very least we could do would be to do something for him, put a leaflet in a door, or tell someone about the great things that God has done for us, or help out in some way using what God has given you to get the gospel out there, to edify the saints, to help. But there are some that only see the glory. I've come across a few of them in my life, I'm sure you have as well. They see you with a nice car, and
why should he have a nice car?
Well, maybe he actually went and worked for a nice car.
Well, he has a nice,
he has a farm.
Why should he have a farm with animals and tractors and stuff?
Well, maybe he actually works really hard for it. Maybe it came from his family, and if he still has it, he's working hard to hold on to it. But a lot of people only see the things that their soul's lost after. This obviously is one of them. And here is what the Lord actually says. There's a lot of people, very talented people, people with huge resources. And here's the rub. A few turns of the hands in that clock up there and it'll all be gone from them. That's all that it takes. A few turns of the hands in that clock and it's all gone. By the way, there's a banking error. Wouldn't be the first time that happened on purpose or by accident. Whether a thief comes knocking at the door and steals their collection of gold bars from under their bed. Or whether the reaper comes and knocks on the door and he doesn't take everything away from you, he takes you away from everything. Some time or other it's all going to be gone. But every single thing that you did for Jesus Christ, that'll be credited to you for the endless ages of eternity. The Bible calls them works of gold, silver, and precious stones, and they'll be yours. They'll be yours to lay at the feet of the God that gave his life on the cross of Calvary, because he loves you more than your mum and dad ever will. And he suffered and died to save you from your sins. And those that really realize just exactly what Jesus did are not, they don't find it a chore to do something when God asks. And it's worth remembering that. But our interest is really, my interest this evening was really just on the last four words of verse number 13. Occupy until I come. That's what the Lord said. Here's your life. Here's where I'm putting you. Do something with it. I know over the past wee while there have been some very emotive things happening in the world. We have the attempted assassination of President Trump. There's many people pinning their hopes for a peaceful world, maybe for the next 4 years or maybe 8 years, on the ex-president Trump becoming president again. We were hoping for the same in our own country. We were hoping that by some miracle Nigel Farage would sit on the throne of power in England, but that just didn't happen. Most likely because the old world, the flesh and the devil, is working against anything and everyone good at every turn it can. But there's a lot been happening. Many people wait with bated breath to see what happens next. And if there was one thing that God ever asked us to do, it was not to sit and wait and see what happened. He said, occupy until I come. Even if you're only praying from the depths of your heart, praying away your fear, praying on the top of your joy, you'll be doing something. We've spoken over the past wee while over what I consider to be the most important things in the Bible, the things that really reinforce, underpinned my faith in Jesus Christ. When I get saved, I knew it was a sinner. My problem was sin, and I needed to get saved. When I got saved, I still believed that dinosaurs lived 65 million years ago. You're talking 35 years ago. I still believed that the dinosaurs lived millions of years before man, and the universe was about 30 billion years old because there was a bloke there with a stopwatch timing it, obviously. I believed all that stuff. But I trusted in Christ as my Savior. And ever since I trusted in Christ as my Savior, he has been underpinning that faith with the solid rock of his teachings and doctrines about the creation of the world only being about 6,000 years ago. It's an amazing piece. A lot of people say, But what about the Grand Canyon? What about the earth being 3 billion years old? Says the Bible says, he's been writing everything else. He's right about human nature. He's right about our need to be saved and the difference it makes, and it's great. I believe what the Bible says. The Grand Canyon is what they call an uplift. The Grand Canyon rises above the earth, and the river running through the bottom didn't spend millions of years carving a hole on it. The river at the bottom runs through a break in this Kaibab uplift, it's called. The moon's leaving us. The earth's slowing down. Magnetic field is getting weaker and weaker. I would even go so far as to say that some of the judgments in the 21 judgments in Revelation are to do with the magnetic field failing on the earth, getting weaker and weaker. This intense heat, etc., etc. Creation is very interesting. As long as there's been a Bible, there's pretty much been farmers. And in all the years there's been farmers, I don't know, well, William, how many cattle do you have?
We have 23 at the present time.
You have 23. I am sure if I asked you the same question as I asked a man that has maybe 10,000 cattle, have you ever had a cow give birth to a non-cow?
No, sir.
It's never happened in the recorded history of man. The only time that happens is in Star Wars, Star Trek, Doctor Who, and in the other great work of fiction that is evolution. It's the same with cats and dogs, pigs and sheep, same with horses that we were admiring in next door. They all do exactly what the Bible said they would and bring forth after their own time. There's a lot of lessons to be learned. You can't be a Bible-believing Christian that believes in evolution. You can't be. Because then there would be no need to get saved, because we are just the end result of getting to the top of the pile through death and murder. We have gotten to where we are just like the animals have for thousands of years. But that's not the way it works. We're living souls. We were made living souls from the very beginning. And we will be living souls until the day the earth stops spinning through space or as a smoking cinder, like the Bible says at the very end. We are God's special creation. We have living souls. We will be held accountable for what we do in this life. There's quite a few lessons. We've studied at the beginning of the Bible. We've also studied at the end of the Bible, especially as we see so many things change in the world today. If you were to read in the book of Revelation about the 10 kings that give their power for 1 hour to the Antichrist, I could see it with Canada and France and even America recently and Australia, all the leaders of those countries, suddenly instead of being democratically elected leaders, they're now tin pot despots that dictate what happens in their country. I could see them giving their power to an Antichrist, because goodness, if one of them isn't the Antichrist, he must be related to him in some way. My goodness, the wickedness. Can see this happening. We can understand so many of the judgments that are mentioned in the Bible, and we can see the preparation for them being led, or even the beginning of sorrows that the world is experiencing right now. It's interesting, and it's good to know that we're not appointed to judgment, but salvation, just like all the other saved of this world. You mentioned a little bit about prophecy early on. I love prophecy. It was the thing that nearly damned my soul to hell forever and ever before I got saved. Fortune telling and reading stars and all this, that and the other. But it was also doing the heaven. But whenever I started reading the Bible and saw the things that God said thousands of years ago that are happening today, I thought, hold on a minute. Hold on a second. Hold on just a second. If all the things that God said in a book that's about 2,000 years old are true and are still happening, Maybe every single thing that's written in that book is absolutely true. All his promises. If you accept me as your Savior, repenting of your sins, I'll save your soul for free, forever and sure. I will keep you in the palm of my hand, and no man can pluck you out. And someday, when your allotted spans of turns of hands and that clock is up, I am taking you to heaven. In fact, you're so sure for heaven, you might as well be standing there right now. That's how sure a Christian, a Bible-believing Christian, is for heaven. I'm glad to know that. It pains my heart sometimes to know as well that a lost soul, no matter who they are, no matter if they're the pygmy in the Amazon rainforest, or if they're the person that lives down the road from me, it pains me to know that they're going to hell, and it constrains me to do something about it. To bring into the conversation church, to put leaflets in the door, to stand in the corner of a car park, and I was thankful I had the opportunity to do that today. There's a new language that is preached up in the car park. It's called, I think it's Morse code, and it's done with car beeps. One long beep means they're not happy, and shorter beeps mean they are happy. Do we have one longish beep today and a handful of short beeps? It's good to be able to do that. Because someday, for me, God's going to say, Mark, did you go? Did you do? And I'll be able to say, I did. Most of the time, Lord, please forgive me for the times I didn't. It's interesting stuff. We've also studied the Gospels. We're here right now. And goodness, can you imagine reading the words of God Almighty? Uttered nearly 2,000 years ago, and we can read them today because people that felt the same about God loved him and understood what it was that he was doing. They wrote these things down so that we could read them and we could experience the same words, the same doctrines, the same salvation as they did years ago. This is one of the parables. I'm sure if I ask you for a parable, some of you might give me the parable of the sower and the seed. The woman with the 10 pieces of silver that lost one, the shepherd that lost one of his sheep. And I'm drying now. The parable's gone out of my head. I'm sure you could probably. Anybody got the loan? Goes.
Good Samaritan.
Pardon?
Good Samaritan.
Good Samaritan, yes indeed. The Good Samaritan. Have any takers for Luke 16? Lazarus and the rich man? That's not a parable. That's an account given by the only man that could, of a man that went to hell and a man that went to Abraham's bosom or to paradise. But it's good to hear these. And it's good to hear what Jesus actually says. Look, you might think you're a good guy, but I am going to look into your head. And I am going to see what goes on in there, because even the thoughts of your heart are going to come up for judgment. You'll give an account for every idle word. Because I know everything about you. And it's not that he stands over you waiting with his fist back, punch you in the back of the head whenever the world brings you to your knees for our stupidity or our mistakes. He stands with a hand out to lift us up again. That's the God that I worship. Those that see him as a hard man can only see his judgment, because that's the only bit of God that applies to them. You're going to pay for your immorality, your blasphemy, your murders, your lies, your thefts. That's the only part that applies to them. But when someone starts saying, Lord, I'm in so much bother here, and I remember that wee short guy up at the corner of the car park with a megaphone telling me that you'll love me and you'll save me if I repent of my sins. God says, I will. All you got to do is admit that you're wrong and I'm right. And there's the rub, friends. A lot of people don't want to do that. We got to see about Jesus' miracles. Does anyone remember John the Baptist sending the tail end of his disciples to Jesus and saying, go and check and see if that's the Messiah? John knew who he was, but he was graciously handing over his disciples to the Messiah. And Jesus said, well, what do you think? The deaf hear, the blind see, the lame walk, The dead are raised from the dead. They're raised from the dead to life. The poor of the gospel preached to them. Who do you think I am? And they went and told John all these things. Goodness. It's great to read those things. It's great also to read about how he faced death down and beat it and came back 3 days later in a glorified body. Stayed around for 40 days, showed himself alive by many infallible proofs, and went alive up into heaven. And as everyone was standing looking up, the angel said, "What are you doing standing looking up? Jesus is coming back exactly the same way he left." Of course, we know from reading the rest of the Bible with the benefit of 1,000 years of hindsight that that's exactly what was prophesied. And by the looks of things, it's going to happen a lot quicker than a lot of people think. It's amazing. It's crazy. I know there's accounts in the book of Acts of what happened to the apostles, many of whom lost their lives. There was only one that made it into his dotage, and that was John. He wrote 1st, 2nd, 3rd John and Revelation on the Isle of Patmos, where he was exiled for preaching the gospel. Remember what the Lord said to him? "If I would that he remain until I come again, what's that to you?" he said to Peter. "You just do what I've put in front of you. You do what I tell you. Don't worry about anybody else." And John did indeed get to meet the Savior one more time. And the Lord showed him the end of the world. Showed him the very end of the world. But there's so much more in there. There's advice for churches. We were reading in 1 Timothy chapter 2 this morning. There's advice for churches. There's direction for families. Bunch of stuff. And you know what? It's good to hear about it, especially if it pertains to your situation. If you can use that in the here and now. It's a little bit like having a magazine full of bullets and slapping it into your gun if you were a soldier. It's a bit like having a backpack with every single thing in it that you need before you head out into the wide blue yonder. It is truly amazing. It's the only book that gives the rules and the power for everyone in this world to live side by side peaceably and going in the one direction. That's it. The only book. If you think about the books in Islam, they constantly talk about subjugating other people and murdering other people that aren't Muslims. And so on and so forth. We spoke about the other religions this morning. But it's good to know these things. But if you don't put them into practice, they're only things that you know. No good to you at all. I remember reading in the book of James that we shouldn't be forgetful hearers of the word of God. The Bible says if any man is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the word, he shall be blessed in his deed. And so here we are right now at my watch. It says 1958 and Sunday the 14th of July 2024. With the benefit of thousands of years, all the teachings of God recorded and is faithfully recorded in his word for us. What are we supposed to do with it all? Have a little verse of scripture in 2 Peter chapter 3. Bear in mind all the things that have, well, I'm going to read it to you. I'm going to start with verse number 9. This is a good verse. Well, verse number 8, I have to read now. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses number 8, 9, 10, 11. It says, "Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." He wants everybody saved. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, flame and fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. The Lord told many parables because they related to the way people lived their lives back there, and people could reach out and touch these things or do these things or had to do these things. And what God has given us, as I think about our recent work on the fence, is a toolbox with every single tool we will ever need in his word. A toolbox. For each person, they're shiny and new, still in the plastic wrapping. They have that new tool smell. And the toolbox will be shiny and new as well as we start out in life. But as you come across things that you need to do, for instance, I always wondered how farmers got the wires so tight in the fence. I saw one farmer doing it with a tractor. That's hard to fit in a toolbox. But I know another guy that used tensioner, it's called, with the like a pulley thing with a ratchet. That's normal. And he had that in his toolbox, so we used it. And we got the wires tensioned. And we got posts put in the ground. And Norman even fabricated a tool out of another bits of tool. And we used that to drive pilot holes and then slap the posts in with a post hammer that I had. And there were many screws put in, and many bits of wire twisted round, and concrete was poured, and all of these things, with all the things, the tools that we had at hand, we got everything accomplished. The only problem was a little bit of inferior materials in the last 20 yards. Well, it's up. As long as you don't pay too much attention, it looks just like the rest of the fence, and that's on me. The Bible is just exactly the same. Need to put a post in the ground? What do? You consult with someone that knows how to put a post in the ground. You do what they say. Need to get to heaven? Consult with the man that knows how to get to heaven and do what he says. Repent of your sins and trust in Christ alone as your Savior. That's it. Need to get on with your spouse, your loved ones? Well, treat them right. But always have your eyes fixed on God, on any behavior that can be contemplated or considered within that boundary, that's fine. Any activity that can be considered within that boundary is fine. But those that are outside of it should be left outside of it. We should learn, and we should grow. We should listen, and we should go. I'm not trying to be a poet, because I'm not. But that's what we need to do. And of all of the things that the Lord left us with, of all of the teachings and the doctrines in the Bible that help us to raise our families, that teach children to honor their mothers and fathers, to be truthful, and to look out for each other, natural love and affection, to treat God right, and then to treat your family right, and then to treat yourself right, and your neighbors right. Of all of them that are in the Bible, the one that he shared with us before he went up into heaven again was, go and preach the gospel to every creature. Paul had and I'm going to paraphrase this, and probably quite badly. He said, I am become all things to all men, that by all means I might win some. Use at any opportunity, whatever it is that you have, to tell folks about God. It doesn't have to be a sermon. You could even share a prayer that God answered for you. You could tell folks about a parable that's in the Bible that really meant something to you. But all of those things are the iceberg, the tip of the iceberg, the bit that people see. What goes on underneath that is not your time with your mates, but your time with the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Your prayer time. Your Bible time. Your church time. All of those things enable you to not be afraid or concerned what other people are going to say whenever you stand up and say, excuse me, but what you're doing is wrong, it's going to hurt you because it's in the Bible. And so far, the Bible has never been proved wrong. But we have many times. So my advice is for you to do what the Bible says. And if God says not to do it, don't do it, and everything will work out for a bit. Is that not what Jesus said? We know that everything works together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. If God be for you, who can be against you? Don't be worried about them that can destroy the body, friends. Be more concerned about him that can destroy the body and soul in hell fire. There is so much there for us. There's help whenever we're confounded. There's wisdom whenever we're fooled. There's strength whenever we feel weak. There's overcoming power whenever we do things God's way. Everything is there for us. It's all put in a toolbox for us. It's carefully held between the leather binders or the leather covers in your Bible. And all we've got to do is take out the tool for the job when we see the job present itself. A doctrine, a parable, just your Christian compassion for a lost soul. Whatever it is that God has blessed you with and given you, don't be afraid to use it to point souls to the foot of the cross. Someday, just like the man in the parable, God will say, well, what did you do? Was your life worth anything? People would say, even to a Christian? Yes, to a Christian. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, God tells us about the foundation of Christ that no other man can lay. And he says, but we ought to be careful what we build on that foundation. It should be good things. Things that will stand. Things that are fireproof. Gold and silver and precious stones. I know, regardless of who you are, there's sometimes there's things that we want to do ourselves. Those are things of wood, hay, and stubble. And someday, that fire that we talked about, take it. It'll test everything. And what's left for God is what goes into eternity. You'd still be saved. That's only talking about the things that you do. But whenever I get to heaven, I don't want God to be saying, standing like that with the head cocked, looking at me out of the corner of his eye, and I wouldn't want that for anybody else either. Not everybody has to be a preacher, but we all should be faithful. Whatever it is that God has called you to do, wherever it is that God has put you, be faithful. Does anyone remember wee Samuel? When he was so little, he had never experienced a relationship with God. And one night he was staying with Eli in the vicarage, I'm sure it was back then. And he heard his name called Samuel, Samuel. And he says, and he runs to Eli. And he tells him, what do you want? He says, I never called you. He goes back to bed and he's called again. And he comes up and Eli twigs on who it is. And he says, the next time you're called, just say, speak, Lord, thy servant here. That should be us. God will never ask you to do something you can't do. He has prepared you for anything that he asks you to do. And you will be capable of more whenever you do what God asks you to do. More faith, more compassion, more giving, more doing, more memory. Whatever it is that God asks you to do is within your grasp. That little bit of faith, and you can do anything. We should do it. The greatest thrills are to be had serving God, standing toe to toe with the enemy, with God before you, behind you, to the left of you, to the right of you, above you, below you, and dwelling inside of you. God loves you to bits, and he will give you a life second to none whenever you put your faith in him. I'm going to stop there. Thank you for your good time, guys and gals, and we're going to sing a song by way of closing. And that big long one, Jehovah Said Can You, which is somewhere it is there, number 34 in the wee black book. If you'd like to take and turn there, hymn number 34, Jehovah Said Can You, it's to the tune of My Jesus, I Love You. If you're able, stand with me as we sing this wee gospel story, and we will be done after. sun hasn't gone and said goodbye to us for the rest of the week, but have a good one, I pray. Keep on your hands and knees and keep praying. Who knows what's going on around the world, but the Lord knows. As long as you keep your eyes on Him, He'll keep you right. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. And amen. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for another Sunday. Thank you for the good weather. Thank you for the good temperature. We do indeed pray, Lord, for those that are going through difficult times, and you know who they are, Lord. Please save souls. Please don't be done with us, Lord. Please provide with us every strength and wisdom and boldness and verse of scripture that we need as we go from one end of the week to the other. And we look forward to being back here again, Lord, in your company at the next appointed time. We love you and praise you, Lord. Thank you for loving us and saving our souls. We ask all of these things and for private prayer requests. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Father. Amen. Mm-hmm. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you. Keep hands and fellowship for a bit. Amen.